Gaspode had curled up under the blankets. "And here I am again," thought Vimes, "racing the sunset. Heavens know why. I'm in the company of a werewolf, and a wolf that looks worse, and sitting in a sleigh drawn by wolves which I can't steer. Try looking that one up in the manual." He dozed among the blankets, half-open eyes watching the disk of the sun flickering between pine trees. How could you steal the scone from its cave? He'd said there were dozens of ways, and there were, but they were all risky. They all depended too much on luck and sleepy guards. And this didn't feel like a crime that was going to rely on luck. It had to work. The scone wasn't important. It was important that the dwarfs ended in disarray, no king, violent arguments and fighting in the dark. And it would stay dark in Ubervald too, and it seemed to be important that the king was blamed. After all, he was the one who'd lost the scone. Whatever the plan was, it had to be done quickly. Well, the clacks would have been useful. What had Wolfgang said? Those clever men in Ankh Morpork. Not dwarfs, but men. Rubber sonkey floating in his vat. You dipped in a wooden hand, and out of the vat you got a glove. Hand in glove. It isn't where you put it. It's where people think it is. That's what matters. That's the magic. He remembered the very first thought he'd had when he'd seen Cheery staring at the floor of the scone's cave, and the little policeman in Vimes's head started to clamour. "What, sir?" said Carrot. "Hm?" Vimes forced open his eyes. "You just shouted, sir." "What did I shout?" "You shouted, 'The bloody thing was never bloody stolen, sir.'" "The bastards! I knew I nearly had it. It all fits together if you don't think like a dwarf. Let's make sure Sybil is all right, and then, Captain, we're going to... Prod Buttock, sir?" "Right." "Only one thing, sir." "What?" "You are an escaped criminal, aren't you?" For a moment, there was only the sound of the runners skimming over the snow. "Well," said Vimes, "this isn't Ankh Morpork, I know. Everyone keeps telling me. But, Captain, wherever you are, wherever you go, watchmen are always watchmen." A solitary light burned in the window. Captain Colon sat by the candle, staring at nothing. Regulations called for the watchhouse to be manned at all hours, and that's what he was doing. The floorboards in the room below creaked into a new position. For many months now they'd been walked on around the clock, because the main office never had fewer than half a dozen people in it. Chairs, too, accustomed to being warmed continuously by a relay of bottoms, groaned gently as they cooled. There was only one thought buzzing around Fred Colon's head. Mr. Vimes is going to go completely bursar. He's going to go totally librarian poo. His hand went down to the desk and came back automatically while he looked straight ahead. There was the crunch of a sugar lump being eaten. Snow was falling again. The watchman that Vimes had named Colonescu was leaning in his box by the hubward gate of Bjonk. He'd perfected the art, and it was an art form, of going to sleep upright with his eyes open. It was one of the things you learned on endless nights. A female voice by his ear said, "Now, there are two ways this could go." His position didn't change. He continued to stare straight ahead. "You haven't seen anything. That's the truth, isn't it? Just nod." He nodded once. "Good man. You didn't hear me arrive, did you? Just nod. Nod. So you won't know when I've gone, am I right? Just nod. Nod. You don't want any trouble. Just nod. Nod. They don't pay you enough for this. Just nod." This time the nod was quite emphatic. "You get more than your fair share of night watches as it is anyway." Colonescu's jaw dropped. Whoever was standing in the shadows was clearly reading his mind. "Good man. You just stand here then and make sure no one steals the gate." Colonescu took care to continue to stare straight ahead. He heard the thud and creak of the gate being opened and closed. It occurred to him that the speaker had not in fact mentioned what the other way was, and he was quite relieved about that. "What was the other way?" said Vimes, as they hurried through the snow. "We'd go and look for another way in," said Angua. There were few people on the streets. which were whitening with the new snow again, except where wisps of steam escaped from the occasional grating. In Überwald, it seemed, sun